Love God.
Lift others.
Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
I love my church, yeah, yeah. About to hit the devil where it hurt, yeah, yeah. Blessed so we cannot be cursed, yeah, yeah. I've been risen from the dirt because we put God first. Come on.
I love my church, I love my church, yeah, yeah. I love my church, I love my church.
Numbers chapter 14, verse 20 through 24. We've been in a series that this month called A Different Spirit. I'm really reluctant to call it a series because I think sometimes we get into these things of, oh, what's the topic this week? Eh, we're grading topics and oh, I like this, I don't like that. Remember, that's that consumer mentality. I don't like to get into that because what I want you to do is I want you to catch the essence of this word. It's more of a prophetic word than a series. I may stop calling these things series because it sounds like it's just kind of a topic when really it's a word for now for your life. Can I get an amen on that? And so, you know, it's more of a thing of where God in this moment is speaking to this house and giving us keys to the life that he has for us on the other side. And we've been looking at the children of Israel in the book of Numbers. And in the book of Numbers, we know that Israel is a type and shadow of the church of Jesus Christ. Israel was brought out of slavery in Egypt. You and I were brought out of slavery to the world and to sin. Can I get an amen on that? And so God brings out Israel and he takes them through a process to get to their promised land. And just like you and I, God saves you from the club, from the world, from drugs, from alcoholism, from the pen, from divorce. Do I need to keep going? Did I get everybody in there? Whatever your issue was, God saved you from that, but not just to take you out of that. See, and this is where most Christians stop. He takes you out of that life to give you the John 10:10 life, which is the life of abundance. Jesus said, I have come to give you a life and life more abundantly. In the Message Bible, it says, I've come to give you a better life than you could ever dream of. You're dreaming about a family like this, and God's going, man, I'm going to give you a better family than that. So you're thinking about a man that's about right here. He's meh, come on, he's mid. And God's thinking, oh, I got a better man for you, amen? That's for the singles, not the married couples there. Y'all ready to trade the one you got in. Amen, Pastor. Too late for that. You made some vows there. Come on. But we'll catch your midman up if he comes to Kingsman. Come on. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm going to keep moving. So here's the situation that we see. God didn't just save you to get you out of slavery. He saved you to put you in your divine purpose, your promised land. But what happens in Numbers chapter 14, the people of God get comfortable in the wilderness where God is meeting their needs. That's where some of us are in this room. You're good with the job you got. You're good with your little family. You're good with the bills being paid. But I need to tell you something today. The problem with being good is you get comfortable. And when you get comfortable, it'll cause you to sacrifice the better life that God has for you. Now, you're thinking, I'm straight in this wilderness. Hey, you know, in the wilderness, God clothed them. God fed them. They were straight. But guess what? They didn't own anything. Nothing was theirs. They didn't possess anything. They weren't able to pass on an inheritance to their children. And their Bible says their children's children. See, parents, what you got to understand, you're fighting for more than just you. And so a lot of Christians, we get comfortable in the wilderness. This is the, I've been saved now and preaching now for 32 years. I got a very interesting perspective. I've been to over 50 different nations, about 20 different states, preached in large churches, small churches. And what I see in most churches is most Christians are comfortable. We're comfortable. We like the wilderness. It's cool. I just go to church. I just come in. I give my tithe. I serve a little bit. Everything's good. But God didn't save you for comfortable. God saved you to give you the abundant life. God saved you so that your marriage could be the best marriage in the neighborhood. God saved you to make an example of your family so that every child that you have goes to college. But pastor, I got six kids, all six of them college graduates. Well, pastor, that's a lot of money. Fool, that's why you need God. Amen? But see, we're comfortable. We're straight. We're good. And this is what happened in the Bible. And so we looked at Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. And what verse 24 says is this. 10 of the spies that went into the promised land said, nah, we can't take it. We can't do it. We can't do it. But there were two guys, specifically this one, Caleb, the Bible says. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. Everybody say fully. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants will inherit it. His kids, his grandkids, and his great-grandkids will be beneficiaries for him following God fully. And guys, this is what we're after. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. And what I'm here to tell you, give God a good praise. And so what we're after here is a different spirit. I want to be a church that's a different spirit. Now, no knock on other churches, right? Praise God, we're all in the body together. But God is looking for a church that's of a different spirit. See, the 10 spies, the 12 spies that went into the promised land were all leaders, the Bible says. They weren't busted believers. They weren't barely saved believers. They weren't casual believers. They were the leaders of the 12 tribes. And of the cream of the crop, of the guys that were doing everything right, they still chose to settle. And I believe many of us here are just like those leaders. But what those leaders did was so selfish to their kids and their grandkids and their great-grandkids. But there was one believer, one person named Caleb and Joshua, but we're talking about Caleb. And these two guys, here we are thousands of years later, and we still name our kids after those two guys. Nobody even remembers the other 10 spies' names. Why? Because they had a different spirit. The last 2 weeks, we talked about what it takes to have a different spirit. One of them is you have to be a person of praise. Caleb came from the house of Judah. Judah means praise. Judah goes first. This is why I've been starting the services and going, okay, let's shake it off, guys. Let's get in here. We need to praise God. America is moving away from praise and moving towards worship. You want to know why? Because worship doesn't cost as much as praise. See, when David went and praised God before the Ark of the Covenant, he looked foolish. He looked foolish, so much so that when he got home, he had one of them wives. Tell your wife, don't be one of them wives. He had one of them wives that began to rebuke him. And she said, you making me look bad. Look at you out there all dancing, all foolish out there. Tell your wife again, don't be one of them wives. She was one of them wives. But you know what David was doing? He was worshiping God. He was praising God. And you know what praise is? Praise is a sacrifice. What is it a sacrifice of? Your pride. Your pride. Because you don't look cool dancing. Some of you are like, I do. No, you don't. We were at a wedding last night. Go to the videotape. No, I'm just joking. I like to dance. But it's real hard to look cool when you dance. That's why some of you don't dance until you get drunk. Because then you're like, oh, I don't care. Dancing is a sacrifice. Lifting of hands is a sacrifice. Shouting is a sacrifice. Many churches and many movements are moving towards worship because worship is simply this: kneeling. We can be in the presence soaking in, but you can't fake praise. You can't fake it. You're either praising or you're not praising. You're either moving or you're not. But you, let's be honest, you could fake, you could just come in and fake. It don't cost me much. Here's this: I could still look cool. Your makeup is still in place. The lashes are still lashing. But you get to moving, one of them, you know, flies off. You get to going. And I don't know how lashes work, y'all. I don't know how to, they don't know what you all put on them. So, but you get to move and it costs you something. So we talked about that. We talked about what the price is to get a different spirit. And Caleb was a praiser. In the 15 minutes I got left to you today, I want to talk to you about something else that's required for a different spirit. And that is a generous spirit. A generous spirit. Now, I felt like in this series, I'm fighting devils. That's why I wore my Pendleton up here today. Maybe I should button the top button. Orale. It's like I'm on blood in, blood out up here. But we need to go after this spirit. Because if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must be generous. You must be generous. Because a generous spirit is not afraid. A generous spirit trusts God. A generous spirit is somebody that knows that God is on their side. But a stingy spirit is fearful. A stingy spirit doesn't quite trust God. It's like, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. But I don't know about all this other stuff in the book. Isn't that interesting? Like, we will put all of our trust in the parts we like, but in the parts we don't quite like, we think it's optional. But yet some of you you're hanging all your eternity on John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Y'all are like, I'm in. But when we move into scriptures like Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and live righteously, and everything you need will be added unto you. When you look at Malachi chapter 6, you look at all these other scriptures, then we're like, I don't know about that. I got some news for you. They all work the same. That's why Jesus says, to them that believe, these things will follow them. But you got to believe. And if you're going to possess your promise for your marriage, for your kids, for your business, for your life, it's going to take a different spirit. And you can't have a different spirit without having a generous spirit. So real quick, I want to take you over to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, chapter 1 through all the way to verse 24. Can y'all handle reading the Bible today? You're not going to manifest. Your brain's not going to blow up today. This might be the most scripture you get all week. So here we go. All right, look what it says here in the scripture. Now, Elijah, who was from Tishba in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord God of Israel lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. And then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah did as the Lord God told him, and he camped at Keredish Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up. He drank all the water. Come on, somebody. For there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. So the Lord said, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. And so he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, and he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, hey, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I only have a handful of flour left in the jar, and a little bit of cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal. Then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said. But first, just make me a little bread. Then use what is left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. The nerve of this fat prophet. The nerve of this fat prophet over here visiting this widow woman who has a child, mind you, tells the fat prophet. You say, how do you know he's fat, Pastor? This fool's been eating barbecue. They're in a famine. God's got ravens bringing him meat. First of all, ravens don't share meat. Ravens eat meat. First miracle. This guy's been drinking water while this whole village is dying. And he has the nerve to go to this widow who, man, guys, she's about to die. Imagine how skinny. Imagine how frail. It's probably like those old commercials they used to put on TV about feeding children in Africa, and they would show these feeble people. That's probably what she looked like. And this fool rolls up the belly. Hey, lady, what you got there? Why don't you go make me some bread? Can you believe this? If this would happen today, TMZ would be all over this. They'd be all over this. Front page, Sacramento Bee. Fat prophet takes a widow's last meal. In the name of the prosperity gospel. And they'd make a whole story about this thing. Many of you have heard this story so many times. And we hear this story, and we think it's a story about how God provided for Elijah. It's not a story about how God provided for Elijah. It's a story about a widow woman who had a different spirit. A spirit that I pray you have. Because in a village where everybody is dying of starvation, why does God choose her for this miracle? Why does God choose her? Guys, it's a famine. There's no rain. Rivers are drying up. There's no rain, so there's no food. So this village that he goes to, people are probably dying daily. And she has no hope because her uncle died 2 days ago. Starvation. Her neighbor died a week ago. Her nana died 2 weeks ago. Everybody's dying. Everybody's losing. Out of business. Nothing's working. But I believe she was praying to God. I believe she was crying out to the Lord. I believe she was saying, God, if there's any way, take care of me and my boy. So what does God do? He speaks to her. Now, this is where I need you guys to catch this today. You see, Because people of a different spirit are willing to do what God asks them to do. I believe the reason that God came to this particular widow is because he knew she would trust him. Now, the God I serve, I know he would have loved to help all the people that were praying. He would have loved to come into that village and did miracles for everybody. But here's what I believe. I believe the people in that village wouldn't have obeyed like this widow did. I believe they would have said, man, get out of here with your big fat prophet self. Get out of here with that. Miss me with that. You preachers are all alike, trying to get our money. You preachers are all the same. So guess what? The Holy Spirit didn't come to them because they didn't have a different spirit. They didn't have a different spirit. But this widow didn't have a lot. Didn't have a lot. And I say it all the time. It don't take a lot to be generous. Quit using that as an excuse when it comes to giving to the Lord. Well, Pastor, I just, you know. Because first of all, the reason you don't have a lot because you don't manage your money well. Tell your neighbor, good morning, and smile at them. Just they need a little pick-me-up right now. They need a little pick-me-up right now because it's true. It's not that God ain't blessing you. You're just a bad manager. You don't own a home, but you're rocking $1,000 handbags. That don't make no kind of sense, people. Own a home first. Your wardrobe is amazing. Gold chains. But you don't own a house. See, that's bad management. Y'all are getting me off track. Somebody needed to hear that. Excuse me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, we're going back this way. Okay, so here's what a different spirit does. And this is why I want to be a church of a different spirit. This is why I want you to catch a different spirit. Because people of a different spirit get the breakthrough. Get the blessing. Their marriages make it when other persons don't. Their businesses thrive when other businesses don't. Their kids get the favor, the blessing, the breaks when other kids don't. They bounce back when they fall, when other people, their fall takes them out. It's a different spirit that causes that. So this spirit, this story is not about Elijah, God saving him through a famine. It's about a woman with a different spirit. Now, she had a different spirit, but she didn't have a lot. But that was about to change. Because, see, what began to happen as the word of the Lord came to her, she believed the word of the Lord. And as she provided for God's vehicle, which was the prophet, that was God's vehicle to bless Israel, she provided for him. Guess what God did? God took care of her. You read the rest of the story. What happens? The widow goes in, and with what she had, she makes a cake. She brings him a cup of water. The prophet eats it. And the Bible says this, the oil that she had never ran out from that point on. God put her, listen, in the oil business. Other people are dying, y'all. She lost a primo 2 days ago. Rogelio was dead. I don't know why I picked that sign. The dudes she grew up with, they're gone. Her husband's not in the story. He probably starved to death already. But she had a different spirit. And that different spirit causes you to listen to the Lord. Comes down to this in America today. And I've been saying this through this whole series. God does not work for you. you work for God. God is not here to make your life what you want it to be. You are here to live your life for Him. Until you get that, you will be in your wilderness. You'll never get the promise. You'll never get the life Jesus called you to have. As long as your prayers are simply, God, bless my business. God, give me this. God, give me that. Do this for me. Do this for my kids. Help me get a house. Listen, Jesus already said, God knows all your needs. So here's what He says. Wake up every day with this prayer. God, what do you want me to do? God, you gave me this job. Why am I here? God, you gave me this family. How do I serve it? God, you gave me this wife that you prayed for. Some of y'all prayed for that wife. Cried your eyes out when she broke up with you the first time. Now you can't stand her. Some of you stalked that man you got right now. Poor dude. Traumatized him. Looking out the front. Oh, there she is again. Dang. Wouldn't leave him alone. Couldn't keep her hands off him. Now you won't touch him. Got real quiet in here. Y'all lighten up. Lighten up. My point is, ask God, what do you want our family to do? Lord, why did you give me this ability, this business? Why'd you give me this idea? How can I make it serve you, God? Instead of just, give me, God, do this for me, God. You see, that's what was different about this widow. That's what the different spirit's about. She looked at the sticks. She looked at the last cup of oil. She looked at the flour. She heard the word of the Lord. She was like, it's all yours anyway, God. What do I have to lose believing the word of God? I wish I could get a whole church full of folks that would just believe the word of God. So guess what she does? She bakes the cake. She gets the blessing. The Bible says that oil never ran out. There was enough flour and oil left in the containers just as the Lord promised through Elijah. She probably then became the savior for the rest of the people that were alive. Because she was able to do things with what God had given her. See, that's what God wants from you. He's looking for who will just listen to me. I'll get you that promotion, but when you're promoted, will you lead my way? I'll bless that business, but will you give it to me? If I bless your business with $1,000 more this month, will you at least ask what I want you to do with that? You know what the majority of people do? Oh, God has just blessed me. It's mine. No, see, when Jesus is king, everything's His. That's what it takes to have a different spirit. A generous spirit requires the following. Y'all ready for this? It's going to change your life if you catch it. A generous spirit requires the following. Number one, an understanding that Jesus is Lord and King. An understanding that Jesus is Lord and King. That's the first thing. An understanding that Jesus is Lord and King. Most Christians don't have that understanding. They think it's about them. Church is about them. God is just there to bring my dreams to pass. God is just there to take care of me. Man, flip that. Flip that upside down. Flip that upside down. And in Matthew 6:33, we started the service with that. Flip that upside down. Live righteous. Seek Him first. And He'll give you everything you need. I wish I could get a church to flip it upside down. That's the goal. That's the goal. Why do I preach messages like this? See, it's not to take your money. It's to get money to you. It's to get money to you. As your shepherd, y'all, first of all, let me explain the shepherd-sheep relationship. You're the sheep, but you're not my sheep. You're God's sheep. usually shepherds never watch their own sheep. They're hired to watch the master sheep. But a shepherd has to love those sheep like they're his own. Has to love those sheep like they're their own. Because a shepherd will fight bears for sheep. The Bible says David fought lions with his bare hands and a slingshot for the sheep that weren't even his. The Bible says David fought off bears. Y'all ever seen a bear? Come on, y'all. They didn't have guns back then, right? They didn't have guns. They couldn't just bear. That's not how you hunt anyway. That's my ghetto-ness right there. You don't shoot bears like that. Come on. Forgive me, Ray. I need to take your class. But the sheep, y'all, when the sheep are taken care of, God's taken care of. Y'all ever read the Bible? Please say yes. God's not poor. He's not broke. David put it like this: God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now, that don't mean much to us today, but that basically means he owns everything. Y'all ever read about where he lives in heaven? Streets of gold, pearly gates. That gold chain you got, that ring you're rocking, ain't nothing to him. He drives over that with chariots. People in heaven spitting on that. Maybe not spitting, I don't know. That's the hood coming out of me again. Come on, the impoverished mindset coming out of me right there. But it ain't nothing to him. My point is this. Your heavenly Father is not poor, nor broke, nor stingy. What kind of a dad is he if he has children but won't give you anything? He's a bad dad. We should change the song. You're a terrible father. It's who you are. It's who you are. You got all that gold, and I'm broke. Don't even have a car. You're a terrible. What kind of a father would I be rocking Gucci, Yeezys, Tina got the handbags, and I'm like, come on, son, let's take you over to Dress for Less. And let's get you the new Shaq shoes over at Walmart. I would be a terrible father. Terrible father. So why don't we give? Why don't we tithe? Why don't we trust God? Why are we making excuses? See, if you're going to have a different spirit, if you're going to have a generous spirit, you can only do so when you know your God. And you understand this. He's the king, not me. And so the money in my bank, before I do anything, I must ask him, God, what do you want to do with this? But what if he asks for all of it? See, you don't know God. You don't know God. You think God's going to ask for all your money and you can't pay your rent? And gonna leave you high and dry? You think God's gonna take all your money and now you can't pay your mortgage and you lose the very house he gave you? Come on, man. Tell your neighbor, come on, man. And no, do it like this, dude. Come on, man. See, we don't trust him. We don't trust him. He already tells us in the Bible, I don't want all of it, but that 10% is mine. If you're gonna be generous, you gotta have an understanding that Jesus is Lord. Number two, you got to have faith in God's word. You either believe his word or you don't. Believe it. Believe his word. Believe his word. These things shall follow them that believe. But you got to believe. And belief has evidence. That's what faith is. Faith is acting on what you believe. You can't be saved with belief, only faith. You can't have faith without first believing. So believe it and then do it. That's called faith. And faith can move mountains. 32 years I've been living by faith. I don't have money to go to nations. I don't have the things that I need at times to do what God's called me to do. But we get it done. You want to know how? By faith. By seeing something in the word, believing it, and acting on it. That's how your business is going to work. Can I just tell you something? You ain't smart enough to get that thing where it needs to be. Sorry. You don't know me. I know enough about you. Y'all got mad at that one. Let me finish. But the fact that you're not smart enough to get it off the ground is why God gave it to you. Because he knows he's the missing ingredient. He knows you'll turn to him, because at the end of the day, you'll go, I can't get this thing off the ground. It ain't working. What do I do? God goes, I gave it to you so that I could step in. And that everybody will see how blessed it is because of me, not because of you. Faith in God's word. Number three, the third thing. To have a generous spirit, it requires a value. It requires a value for what God values. What does God value? His church. His church. There is this thing around the country, people, so-called Christians, bashing the church. Movements of people. I love Jesus, I just don't go to church. That is unbiblical. The only thing God is building in the earth realm, only thing Jesus is building, his attention is fully on the church. Well, I am the church. I beg to differ. Well, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you are, but there is something else that the Bible says happens when we come together. Christianity is a team sport. And as long as it's just about you and yours, it'll never work. So Jesus creates the church. And he puts us together in this community that's going to cause us to grow. It's going to challenge us. How many of you learned growth is painful? Y'all know that? That's why they call it growing pains. Now, some of us are too old to remember, but think about your kids. Remember when they're around 10 or 11 and they would run to your room at night, Mom, my legs hurt. Growing pains. How many remember that? How many have kids? Y'all kids don't grow? Come on. My kids would run in the room. I don't know why we say I. Why do Mexicans say I? Caucasians say ow. Ow. We say I. Growing pains. Growth is very painful. Growth is very painful. First few years of getting married, a little bit painful. Childbirth, very painful. Growth is painful. When you go to a church, it don't always feel good. Somebody in that church is going to make you mad. Somebody in that church is going to make you upset. Someone's going to say something that makes you want to sock them in the mouth. And then you got to come back to church and see them, and it's painful. But guess what's happening? You're growing. But you know what you want to do in the painful seasons? I want to leave. I don't like this. Let me go down to the church the other street. They don't have to put up for it. They don't have to go through this. Guess what else? You won't grow. If you're in a painful season in a church, it's because you're growing. So here's what we do. Catch this revelation. Suck it up, buttercup. That's from Pastor Charles. That's a Texas saying. But value for God's church. Value for God's church. This is my last point. I need to wrap this up. Here's the deal. The widow knew Elijah was an important man to God. So she gave her last to take care of the man of God because he was important to God. In response to her valuing the prophet, God took care of her.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get word every week from Elevate Life Church.